Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, it's 8 a.m. on a Tuesday, and you know what that means. We've got John Jackson in the house joining us on the phones. John Jackson, thanks for being with us.
Always a pleasure, David. How is it going out there in Montana? What's the weather?
Beautiful weather. You can see the Beartooth Mountains from up here, so that's always a good thing.
It's cold here, lows in the 20s every day. I think just about as cold as you are.
That's right. So what news stories are you following? I've got a couple of here. It's almost hard to figure out, what do we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about the Panama Canal and Greenland? Do we want to talk about what's going on in Congress? Do we want to talk about AOC's political future? Do we want to talk about Elon Musk? I mean, there's so much out there. What's on your mind?
Well, you saw the breaking news this morning. You talk about breaking news. Is American Airlines this morning at around 7 a.m. Eastern time issued a ground stop for all of their flights, the morning of Christmas Eve. But luckily, it looks like an hour or so later, they lifted that ground stop and they're back to normal operations. But I'm sure even that hour has snarled things up around the country. It might take them the rest of the day to unscrew that.
And flying commercially is miserable enough as it is, and then to try to be doing it on Christmas Eve and then for something like that to happen. I got to say, when I first saw that story come out, my first sort of thought was this is not just a technical glitch. Like, this is either a cyber attack or something of that nature. But it sounds like maybe it wasn't that.
Well, we were just talking about that the other day. 9/11 changed everything as far as air travel. First of all, the airlines and the flight group permission to treat you like crap. Whereas before, they pretty much behaved as some sort of customer service. They were there to make you happy. Oh, no, not anymore. Since 9/11, for the past 23 years, they don't do that anymore. And then COVID then caused all of the people that wouldn't get the jab, that were ready to retire, they all retired. So then the airlines were short staffed. So you put two of those together now, it really is just like getting on the Greyhound bus line. I mean, it's the same experience.
TSA is such a miserable experience to go through. One of my favorite polls that ever came out, this was like 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And I remember this poll coming out, and they had polled the American people, and they'd say, hey, would you rather keep TSA and have the security associated with TSA, or would you rather get rid of TSA and just roll the dice that your flight is gonna make it there safely? And a majority of the Americans said, I'd rather just roll the dice.
Well, think about it. Like, you can take, 3 ounces of liquid in multiple bottles. But by God, Dave, you cannot bring a full 17-ounce little plastic bottle of water with you. Oh, no. Oh, heck no. They seize that like it's TNT.
That's hilarious. Hey, we're up against the break. We got John Jackson joining us on the phones. We'll be right back with more from John Jackson.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is, like, busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Singer-songwriter SZA has released the deluxe edition of her 2022 album, SOS, subtitled Lana. She previewed the album with a video for the song Drive, featuring actor Ben Stiller. The album features collaborations with Kendrick Lamar, Benny Blanco, and more. SZA and Lamar are scheduled to tour together in the new year. Australian house music DJ Dom Dalla is breaking records. He sold over 170,000 tickets across four cities, making it the largest ever tour by an Australian electronic artist. The DJ is scheduled to headline the Palm Tree Music Festival in Aspen, Colorado in February. Dom Dalla will then take the stage at Madison Square Garden in New York for two shows, March 7th and 8th. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We've got John Jackson on the phones. John, I got to get your take on a story that's been out there quite a bit, and it's this New York City subway story where apparently some Guatemalan immigrant apparently, like, started some lady on fire, and she ended up dying. A really, really horrific story. But then I don't know if you saw the video that allegedly came out. And there's this video of this woman, I guess, burning alive on the New York City subway. And people are walking by. The police are walking by. I mean, I can't stand the fact that those videos are out there. I don't like to watch videos of, you know, people getting shot and people, you know, burning alive and stuff like that. But I saw, like, the picture of it. It just looks too weird to me. Like, is that possibly real? I mean, have you seen that video? And do you have any idea if that's real or not?
Yeah, I've seen the video on numerous sites. And I actually put out a still photo on Twitter yesterday. I said, here you go. Here is modern-day Democrat cities captured in one picture, because you have this poor lady. I don't know how she's still standing up.
That's
on fire.
That's the part where it's like, this just seems so weird. I don't understand that either. It makes no sense.
But she was still moving. I saw several video shots of this person is still moving while on fire, and you have this police officer just walking by. You see several of them walk by in that camera shot, and it really is, it's everything they have become with the illegals. It involves, it's everything. The illegals, the crime, and then the absolute lack of involvement by law enforcement, because they have been so demoralized and diminished that they don't want to even involve themselves anymore. You look at that and you think, all he had to do was kick this person over, kick them to the ground, and then take his jacket off and throw the jacket on her.
Right.
I mean, my God, it boggles the mind. It's just inhumane.
Well, and then nobody else wanted to step in and help either, presumably because of they're afraid of getting prosecuted like Daniel Penny was, right?
Oh, exactly. Everything there is coming to bear. Exactly that, too. Nobody wanted to come to her aid or do anything about the guy that did it to her. It really is just all of the rot of modern-day Democrat rule seen in one picture, in one video.
So I had said something about this yesterday. I'm curious to hear your response to this, simply because I know that you've got some experience in Latin America. But when I saw this story, my first sort of thought was, This type of violence, like, you don't even see, like, people lighting people on fire. You don't even see that out of, like, the worst of the worst, you know, homegrown criminals here in the U.S. But in terms of, like, the violence that you see in Latin America, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, cutting people's heads off and putting people's heads on sticks, you know, burning people alive, torturing people, I think that maybe is not as uncommon in certain parts of Latin America where you're seeing a lot of the illegal immigrants coming from compared to even our most hardened criminals here in the United States. Is there any truth to that? And are you going to, do you think that the potential to see kind of some of these really horrifically violent acts like that is partially due to just sort of the more acceptance of violence down there?
Yeah, and the criminal cartels, you know, Latin America do commit horrific violence, but normally, 95% of the time, it's about business. It is not just randomly, ruthlessly killing innocent people. Whereas that's what went on here, and the reason that's going on, and you see all these murders and rapes and all this stuff going on, because who's been turned loose in our country are the people from the insane asylums and the jails from all of these countries all over the world. You know, they cut them loose and said, here's your ticket to the United States, go. And, of course, Biden and all these people let them in. And I tell you, that's the first thing that needs to happen when Trump gets in, is there needs to be immediately a special counsel appointed to the entire southern border disaster.
Oh, you got to wonder how many crimes were committed by people within the Biden administration, not only on the southern border, but how many other crimes did they commit? I mean, as you know, John, Tom Homan is out there very, very strongly telling people, hey, look, it's a federal crime to interfere with federal law enforcement. And I'm just thinking back to what the Biden administration did on the southern border. That sounds like a federal crime to me, what they did in terms of basically interfering with enforcement of federal immigration laws.
Oh, it 100% is. And I said this on our spaces the other day. See, what maybe some of these people in the Biden regime don't know, I guarantee you, I know my people down there. And those Border Patrol people, those bosses down there, all those people on the southern border, yeah, they've been following orders for the past 4 years from the Biden regime. But you know what else they've been doing? They've been keeping book, brother. They've been holding, copying all of those emails that were sent to them from D.C. telling them to break the law. Derek, all you got to do is subpoena these guys, get them on the stand, and they'll bring up all the emails and all the proof.
Well, and then honestly, what about the cover up of Joe Biden's mental incapacity? If that's not a crime, then I guess we need to pass a new law and say it's a crime if you're in the White House as an official and you know for a fact the president is mentally incapacitated and you engage in activity to cover it up. If that's not a crime already, we need to pass a new law and make that a crime.
These media maggots, you know, they do this all the time. They did it with COVID. They do it with everything. They turn around years later after we've been screaming this particular thing. We've been screaming that Biden's a fruitcake, a vegetable. And they turn around here after the election and go, like they just discovered the wheel. They turn around and go, look at this. Joe Biden has really been out of it, you know?
Yeah, breaking news. Brand new information. Joe Biden lacks mental capacity. Yeah, real rich. Hey, we got Tim and Billings right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
As we march ahead through the 2020s, perhaps it's time to cast back 15 years and see where we thought things were going back then. Montana State University's Project 2030, published in 2010, took a look at where trends in population and demographics were taking Montana. Had the broad conclusions of that study been more closely read and heeded, some of the loud debates taking place today over things like housing and property taxes might be a bit quieter. The MSU's economist projected a future for Montana where demographic trends delivered a population of taxpayers that was increasingly asset-rich and income-poor, taken at a time when pressure on state budgets from things like pensions and Medicaid were pushing up the need for revenue. That made dependence on a property tax, levied against the value of property, but paid for out of income, more and more problematic. The years that have followed the report have borne out the wisdom of those projections. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The House ethics report on Matt Gaetz released yesterday is devastating. The report says he regularly paid women for sex, including an underage girl, one who was 17 years old, and also used illegal drugs on multiple occasions, like cocaine and ecstasy, accepted lucrative gifts, including a trip to the Bahamas. He was uncooperative and knowingly and willfully sought to impede and instruct the committee's investigation of his conduct. Gates also misused House resources when he had his chief of staff assist a woman with whom he engaged in sexual activity in obtaining a passport, falsely stating to the State Department that she was a constituent. Now, Gates says, "I was charged with nothing, fully exonerated, not even a campaign violation, and the people investigating me hated me. If he was still in the running for attorney general, this would have blown him out of the water." With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here on Montana Talks. We've got John Jackson here for the most unwoke hour of the week. We've also got Tim in Billings calling in. We've been talking a little bit about the story out of New York City, where apparently an illegal alien started some lady on fire, burned her to death, and nobody was really willing to stop and help. Tim, did you have a comment on that?
Good morning, gentlemen. First and foremost, have a very Merry Christmas. We all know that what happens here is a struggle, but in the end, we know who really wins, and we know where we're going, hopefully. So, very Merry Christmas to you guys and everybody else out there. John was saying how people were just walking by, and I don't think it's necessarily even the fact that they wouldn't want to help. We have become such an incapable society of having any knowledge of what to do. People are frozen. They're paralyzed by the fear of what they should do because they haven't been taught basic life skills. We've become a society that relies on the government and authority and schools and all these people to teach us all these things, and if they haven't taught it to us, then we just don't know. Whereas that's not what America started as, that's not what we flourished as, but it is what we have become. Is we're a society of people who are inept because of our lack of curiosity, our aversion to try new and hard things, and fear of ridicule for trying those things. And the other thing I'd like to mention is, if Alex Jones can get fined $1 billion for questioning whether something is a false flag, every one of these media organizations that said that vaccines were safe and effective and you could not transmit and you would not receive the vaccine, the COVID virus, if you took the vaccine, and also anybody that said that Joe Biden was mentally capable over the last 4 years should also be fined those same amounts. And
right.
They should lose their license to broadcast.
Well, yeah, but Tim and Billings, we would have to have a fair and just society for that to happen.
Exactly. Well, we would have to have a justice system that looks at everybody equally in the eyes of the law rather than a two-tiered system.
Right. I think you're right on your first point, Tim, in terms of basically the American people kind of just, we've gotten soft. We don't even really know how to help other people anymore. We just rely on the government. I think there's a lot of truth to that, and it happens no matter what it is. When the government starts providing a service and starts doing something, the private sector's ability to do that just atrophies and goes away. John, are you there still?
Yep, gotcha.
Did you have any feedback on what Tim said there, or should we move on to the next topic here?
Well, just real quick, yeah, we kind of got into that the other day. People need to understand that nobody's going to save you. Like they say, you know, when seconds matter, the police will be there in minutes, right? And as you see in that video, even when they got there in minutes, they're not helping. And people just need to have their head on a swivel and be ready to react. You don't stand there and just watch a thing happen. You be ready to react. Always be in, you know, condition orange.
Yeah, there's also this really weird thing that happens when there's a lot of people around, where if somebody is in distress and you're like the only person there, I think most people step in and help. But I think what the studies show is that if there's somebody that's in distress and there's 100 people around, kind of everybody just assumes that somebody else is going to do it. I think that's kind of human nature. But the other thing that this reminds me of is how what you see post-natural disasters, oftentimes, whether it's, you know, down in Texas, I think you saw some of this in the Carolinas recently, where it's actually your neighbors and volunteers and just private citizens that oftentimes do more to help out in the emergent situation than the government could ever hope to do. You agree with that, John?
Absolutely. And you saw that in Western North Carolina. And you saw just what our lawmakers did here just a few days ago. They've now thrown out $100 billion slush fund for the allegedly Hurricane Helene victims. And what they did was give Joe Biden and his people 30 days, a month, to play around with $100 billion. I mean, they should have thrown out $1 billion, $2 billion on that, and then pick it up in March with the next CR. That $100 billion, that was ridiculous.
It's absolutely outrageous. I want to get your take on all of this stuff going on about the Panama Canal and Greenland and, you know, making Canada a state. I think a lot of people thought that this sort of started out as a troll by Donald Trump. But the more I look into this, the more I realize I think Donald Trump is deadly serious about getting control of Greenland and getting control of the Panama Canal. Have you looked into that much?
I've been watching it, and it really is hilarious. I think I'm like you. I think part of it is a troll, but he's partly serious. And there's a great movie out there called Miller's Crossing. And in there, the boss tells one of his underbosses, he says, "Look, Casper, you're only as big as I let you be and no bigger, and don't forget it ever." And I think that's what Donald Trump is doing here, you know, before he takes office, and he's going to do it in his first 6 months. He's going to snap all these people around the world back in line. We are the big dogs around here. We're calling the shots, and if you want to do business with us, you're going to behave in a certain manner.
I love it. And it's like it's just so refreshing to see the president of the United States actually wielding the power and influence of the United States. It's like, why hasn't any other president done this? It's just so frustrating.
And he's actually going to wield it for American interests, not for the EU and not for NATO and not for Iran and the terrorist actors and Hezbollah and Hamas. One time, de una vez, he's going to wield it for us.
Did you see that? I saw something about Trump thinking about getting out of the WHO on day one. Did you see that?
Yeah, I think he did that. If I've not remembered, he pulled us out of that right at the end of his last term. But then first thing Biden did was put us right back in. I think he's definitely going to do that for sure.
The WHO thing, I mean, it's so nice to have Trump actually exerting American influence. And, of course, what we've seen historically, and I think the WHO is a perfect example of this, where it was like the numbers were staggering. Like the United States was paying for like $500 million of the WHO budget, let's say, and China was paying like $10 million. But yet China had all the power and influence at the WHO, and it never made sense to me until you realize, oh, the American politicians simply do not care to exercise power and influence to benefit the American people. And I think what's driving a lot of what Trump is doing on the Panama Canal in Greenland is the Chinese influence over the Panama Canal. I mean, if Panama and Denmark weren't allowing China to exert so much power and control over the Panama Canal and the rare earth minerals in Greenland, I don't think Trump would be as concerned about those two pieces.
Oh, absolutely. And everybody's got to remember, 12 of the last 16 years have been under these communist Democrats who have fallen asleep on the job and actively allowed foreign interests to take over the world and business and everything, our influence everywhere. And Trump has got to pop back here real quick and try to reestablish it.
Okay, I got to get your take on the story out of Germany where there was a Saudi Arabian doctor, I mean, an actual doctor from Saudi Arabia drove a vehicle into a Christmas market and killed four women and a 9-year-old boy in a Christmas market rampage. Did you see that story?
Yes, and the video, if you've seen the video, it is horrific. I mean, he drove this car, it has to be 45, 50 miles an hour right through the crowd of these people. And it turns out he was obviously an illegal in Germany, and the Saudis wanted him extradited back to their country for crimes, and the Germans refused to extradite him.
That is unbelievable.
You know, obviously, they want more of this. Obviously, the Germans want more of this. So, hey, you know, enjoy, you know, have fun until you decide to maybe elect a right-wing person that wants to put a stop to it, have fun.
I think, didn't I see something that Guatemalan immigrant that just murdered that woman on the New York City subway? I'm pretty sure I saw an article that said Donald Trump administration had actually deported that guy and Biden let him back in.
Yep. That's what I saw, the same story. And I'll tell you one thing. It was a few years ago when I was still working. We did a guy for some meth, and we pull up his record. Dude had been deported 14 times. 14 times. And was still in the U.S. trafficking in narcotics. And the law needs to be changed. I say second time you're back in the United States after you've been deported, that's a minimum 5 years in prison.
I mean, it absolutely should. And then people might say, well, that's going to cost a lot of money. That's going to be expensive. Well, what would we rather do? Would we rather spend a little bit of money to lock this guy up in prison? Or would we rather have another American citizen burned alive on the subway, raped, murdered, or you name it? That's the alternative.
No, and you'll get, what you just have to do is set the example. And once you start showing these border jumpers that you're serious and that you will start sending people to jail, then they'll stop doing it. It won't be the expense that all these people say it will be.
That's exactly. And it's the same thing with the tariffs. Like Donald Trump tells Mexico, we're going to tariff you 100% unless you secure the border. And then the media is like, oh my gosh, if we had 100% tariffs on Mexico, it would be so terrible. It's like, you morons, it's not going to happen. It's a leverage piece. Mexico is going to secure the border just like they did, just like Donald Trump got them to do during his first administration when they put 28,000 Mexican troops on the border, et cetera, et cetera. And then Jack Posobiec this morning talking about how Panama refuses to secure the Darien Gap. The Darien Gap is that one little piece of land where there's not an actual highway going between North America and South America, and Panama has the ability to stop all of the illegal immigration going through the Darien Gap, and they refuse to do it. And so if they're going to refuse to do that, then why would Donald Trump not take action? We'll be right back.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Got a message from Right On John in Bozeman. He says, David with a K, your new word for at least the next year is Democrats. Call them what they are and act in America. Thank you for that, Right On John. We got John Jackson on the phones. John, before I move on here, I was curious if you had anything specific you wanted to talk about today.
To hit what we were talking about before the break, you were talking about Panama and the Darien Gap. See, what everybody has to understand is that the reason Panama won't close off those borders, and the reason that chain, that trail all the way from South America is completely open, it's a fast-track autobahn interstate, is because Biden is paying these countries to keep their borders open. Whereas Trump, when he was president the first time, he was threatening these countries with their foreign aid if they didn't close their borders. And I tell you, that's the other reason why a special counsel has to get appointed behind this. And everybody, Mayorkas, and everybody that was involved in this has to get dragged to the ends of the earth behind it. Because if we don't, say, you know, the next, you know, Gavin Newsom administration comes in here in 28, they're just going to do the same thing again. We have to make certain that the next group of Democrats that come in here know they are not going to be allowed to come in here and break the law and flood our country with the scum of the third world.
That's a fantastic point. I really love that idea. And again, I go back to the idea of if we investigate what they did, and there's not an existing law to charge them with the crime, then we need to pass a new law that says, hey, if you do this, what the Democrats did, what Mayorkas did, that's a crime. And then, of course, the problem is who's going to prosecute those crimes if you've got a Democrat administration in there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Democrats have always known that the key to all of it is the Attorney General. And Obama knew that, and we have to make sure that Pam Bondi, I hope they have given her the briefing that about what her marching orders are up there, because that's the source of all of it. That person sitting in that chair has got to be a loyalist.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a state law in Montana, and a lot of states have these laws, that make it a state crime to hire illegal aliens. Frankly, I think we ought to see the states try to enforce that more. I think what you said earlier, though, too, is that this just sending the message is going to accomplish a significant portion of what we want accomplished, right? I mean, if I'm an illegal alien here in the United States, I'm probably just going to get up and go home on my own right now, wouldn't you?
Well, that's the other thing. I would if the money runs out, and that's what they have to do first thing in this next budget is choke off all the money. And I'm hoping that Trump can. The word is he's going to declare a national emergency behind this, like day one. And hopefully that will be able to allow him to repurpose a lot of this money out there that's feeding the NGOs, that is putting all these illegals up in hotels and feeding them and giving them phones and all that. Once the money runs out and they don't have jobs, they'll leave.
Hey, I'm curious what your take is on what the heck happened here in Congress with the CRs and the Mike Johnson deal and everything like that. I mean, I talked a little bit about it yesterday. I kind of see where both sides were coming from on that. I don't necessarily view this as, you know, Trump didn't get what he wanted or this is a Trump loss because he didn't get the debt ceiling raise. I think this was more Trump basically exerting power as the president-elect, which is very unusual and was pretty successful given his situation. But when President Biden's in the White House still and is the one that has to sign this, you know, trying to suggest that Trump somehow should have more power and influence over what Congress did, I think is just the media looking for any way to try to attack Trump. But I guess just kind of big picture here, what's your sort of overall take on what happened in Congress and Mike Johnson and the CRs and the debt limit and all that stuff?
That CR should have been 2 pages. A clean CR, continue the spending, you know, and I wouldn't even kick it to March. I kick it to, you know, 30 days or 60 days, kick it to February, and then we take over and take care of this. But see, once again, Mike Johnson is out there collaborating in secret with Democrats. You know, it came out that they've been working on this for like 6 weeks, openly collaborating with Democrats and giving them a Democrat wish list. You know, they were going to shield the Democrats from any investigations into January 6th. They were going to give themselves a 40% pay raise. They were going to write themselves out of the Obamacare exchanges. And rightfully so, first Elon Musk started raising hell about this, and then Trump got in the middle of it, and it died.
So here's the problem with kicking Mike Johnson out that I've heard is that they need to elect a new speaker on January 3rd, and then you've got to have a speaker in place to certify the election on January 6th. Do you see that as a good reason to keep Mike Johnson just to make sure that we've got a Congress and a speaker in place by the January 6th?
I think what's got to get done right now is Mike Johnson has got to get told it's a whole new day here. This is not 2016 anymore, and this certainly is not the Biden administration anymore. You are going to do what we tell you to do, and you are going to be a conservative leader of this caucus, and you're going to bring everybody around to that. And you know, you might have to make some examples of some people with this thing, because these people have lived up there for too long just going along with the system. And we've seen openly defying Republican presidents like Donald Trump. Well, those days are over.
Right. So, okay, this is, I mean, it's kind of crazy that the Democrats are actually trying to leverage the debt limit to try to prevent spending cuts. That was in Politico Playbook this morning about how the main reason the Democrats want to have that debt limit thing come up in Trump's term is they're going to say, we won't raise the debt limit unless you get rid of all of your spending cuts. I mean, I can hardly believe that they would even be able to do that with a straight face considering our debt levels. But can you imagine using the debt ceiling to actually leverage more spending?
It should never even have come up here in this CR because you've got the Democrats running the Senate and the White House, and you are never going to get that from them without major concessions. And once again, this is about Republicans, John Thune and Mike Johnson, controlling their caucus. Because I believe you can do that, at least in reconciliation here in the fall, you can do this with 51 votes. So just get it done. We don't want to hear about, oh, we've got such a little majority, oh, gee whiz, we can't get that done. BS. Nancy Pelosi gets anything she wants to get done with a 4 or 5 seat majority, so I don't want to hear it.
I agree. And I don't want to hear any blame on Elon Musk or X or anything else when you Congress people get mad that your little pork barrel spending thing got exposed on X. And I think Elon Musk is spot on when he says, look, when I post something on X and it gets a lot of likes and that impacts Congress, that's not me, Elon Musk. That's the American people's voice being expressed, right?
Yeah, they make me laugh with this. Oh, a billionaire. Look at a billionaire running the country. He's the shadow president. Well, let's bring out all the photos of you guys, you know, every spare second you have sucking up to Soros and taking $400 million from Zuckerberg. And I mean, please, spare me.
Oh, I still remember that picture of Tim Walz at Alex Soros' apartment in New York City. And you see Alex Soros sort of, you know, standing all straight and broad-shouldered in the middle of the room. And then you see Tim Walz off to the other side with his hands crossed in front of him and kind of, you know, hunched over, kind of almost bowing to Alex Soros. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I got a related story for you here. You know, it's now coming out that, you know, what went on during that campaign is now coming out now. And they were talking to some of Trump's campaign people about Kamala's weaknesses. And this one guy says that he got asked, you know, what did your data show was her most effective ad against her? And he said, well, there were several. But usually it was anytime she was talking.
Yeah, I saw that quote. And it's true. It's true. She was horrible. And that's all Libs of TikTok does, too. Libs of TikTok is huge because all that account does is simply plays the words of these leftists. And they sink themselves.
She was so incredibly bad. And I'm still on the fence about it, whether she's actually dumb or whether she was just trying to hide herself for 3 months, right, coming up to the campaign. Because you saw her in that debate with Trump. She was snap right on it. She was pretty dang good in that debate. So I think it's just her trying to hide who she really is.
Yeah, I think so, too. Hey, do you think Kamala should go for California governor or run for president again?
Oh, by God, I want to run for president again, Dave. Absolutely. 100%. Don't you?
I agree. I think that would be amazing if Kamala Harris ran for president in 2028. Of course, we're going to have J.D. Vance as our nominee in 2028, which is going to be fantastic. The Democrats aren't going to have anybody else. We got some more time with John Jackson right after this.
The truth and nothing but. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And I said this last night. Legacy media, and I said journalism is dead in 2007 and 8. All these conglomerates, all these big newspapers, New York Times, Washington Post, you name them, all of them, ABC, NBC, CBS, all of them, you know, all these fake news, you know, channels together combined, they threw everything they had at this man to destroy him. And Donald Trump has defied every one of those critics, and he's still not only standing, he's standing triumphantly. I mean, it really is an incredible thing.
Keeping you on the straight path. Later today, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Did you know your life insurance is an asset you can sell? I'm Jay Jackson, CEO of Abacus Life. For almost 20 years, Abacus has been purchasing life insurance policies from seniors just like you. And at abacuspays.com, we've created a free policy value calculator so you can find out the worth of your policy in just seconds. There are no fees and no obligations. Get real value from your life insurance when you need it with Abacus. Learn more at abacuspays.com.
Why pay more for prescriptions? Stop overpaying and start saving with SingleCare. It's easy. Find your prescription on singlecare.com, show the coupon at the pharmacy, and start saving. SingleCare works at pharmacies nationwide and is completely free to use, whether you have insurance or not. So the next time you fill a prescription, check SingleCare to make sure you're getting the best price. Take control of your prescription costs. Go to singlecare.com or download the free app today.
Are we live on the air here? I think we're live. I don't know if I heard any of the bumper music there, or if we're even going out over the airwaves. But we're semi pros here.
Ethan, you know, there is a time to let it all go for a second and just be happy and not be so serious, right?
That's absolutely right. We've all got so much to be thankful for. You've got to be thankful for the fact that you're not flying today. That's good.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I am dreading it coming back. You always dread, because there's the right after Christmas travel is all keeps ratcheting up, in my opinion, every year. Citizens, just through interest, through anger, and through, you know, and they do it through social media, everybody's paying attention. You're not going to be, if you're, you know, representatives up there in D.C., be they congressmen or senators, you're not going to be able to hide like you did 20 years ago, and nobody knows how you voted on a certain issue. Everybody's watching.
You know what I also love is the idea of taking these, you know, 5,000-page omnibus packages or CRs and running them through AI and having Grok, you know, give us a summary of a 5,000-page bill and point out all of the egregious pork. I think that's going to be pretty helpful going forward.
You saw, I was impressed when that 1,500-page CR came out within hours. It was like within three hours maybe already the sleuths out there had gone through it and were pulling out some of the most egregious parts of it. I mean, it's impressive how quickly people can speed read through this stuff and see what's going on.
It really is. Hey, since you're talking about, hey, maybe we should try to do something positive. Here's a positive Montana story. I don't know if you saw this yet, but the Montana Supreme Court dealt a blow to Bozeman's plastic ban that they approved in November. The ballot initiative to ban single-use plastics in Bozeman was approved last month by the voters, but was dealt a blow this week by the Montana Supreme Court. The decision by the Montana Supreme Court said that a bill passed by the legislature in 2021 to preempt local ordinances regulating certain containers was not unconstitutional because the state constitution allows the legislature to limit the powers of local government. And so the state legislature had put in place these rules to basically prevent your wackadoodle left-wing cities like Bozeman and Missoula from, you know, really violating the freedoms of the citizens of that state. But there's a little positive news story here. Christmas Eve, the Bozeman plastics ban may not be going forward.
You've seen that in other states. You've seen it in Montana as well. You saw it with COVID. You've seen it with firearms and Second Amendment stuff. You see these cities, these blue cities, try to declare themselves some separate potentate, you know, some separate government where they're going to restrict the basic freedoms of the people inside of their city limits. And state governments, you know, have come up and said, no, you're not. And you remember Gianforte had to tell a couple of cities in Montana that after COVID, because they were going to keep with it their mask restrictions and all these other restrictions, and Gianforte said, no, you're not.
That's right. Well, and then the gun control laws, too. A lot of these left-wing cities would be putting in a bunch of gun control laws if we didn't have state laws that preempted it.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure they did that in North Carolina. Some of these cities tried to do that, and the state government said, no, you're not. You can't do that. That's that's not constitutional.
You know, there is some good news out there. Another one was apparently a retired Montana Highway Patrol chief had filed a motion against Austin Knutson to hold him in contempt, and that was denied as well. So a couple of good news stories there. But, John Jackson, 30 seconds left here. I'll let you say some closing words. Thanks again so much for coming on. Really enjoyed it.
Well, we may be putting the band back together. David, word is also Donald Trump is thinking about a soft invasion of Mexico to go after the drug cartels. So, you know, I may be kitting up again, brother.
I love to hear that. And it's like, do we really want a soft invasion, or do we need more of a hard invasion here? I think a lot of people wouldn't be opposed to a hard invasion.
I love how he's intimidating these people. It cracks me up.
It's amazing. Well, there's a new sheriff in town, and it is amazing. That wraps it up, the most unwoke hour of the week. Thank you, John Jackson, for being here. Hopefully, John Jackson, you'll be back in Montana on the 31st, which I believe is a Tuesday. Maybe you can join us in studio there. Folks, open phones if you want to be on, 294-0970.
We're